May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Some questions are meant as a challenge. Some 30-some years ago, when I was in college, I got this question a lot. How can you be a Christian when Christians have done horrible things in the name of their religion, like the Crusades? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Or one like it? How can you be a Christian when Christians are always seem to be fighting among themselves? They're valid questions, and they require a serious response. We could talk about sin and forgiveness and redemption. We can talk about the love of God, how none of us are perfect and all of us have fallen short of the glory to which God calls us. But sometimes the question, the person who asks the question, doesn't really want an answer. And sometimes it wasn't even a question. Sometimes people would just tell me, I could never be a Christian because Christians have done so and so and so and so. Some questions are designed to mock, not to begin a serious discussion. Remember this one. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? That question was used throughout many, maybe even hundreds of years, to make fun of the theology of the Middle Ages. And it was used to make fun of any kind of fine theological point in general. How many angels can fit on the point of a pin or a needle? Why does it matter? Well, it doesn't to most of us. And so in that same vein, the Sadducees, who did not believe in life after death, asked Jesus a question, a ridiculous question, to make a mockery of the belief in the resurrection of the dead. It was really a pointless question, except perhaps to any unlucky woman who would have been the subject of that question. Well, Jesus never gets taken in by trick questions. He never does. And this time, he gives the Sadducees a theology lesson about the resurrection of the dead. Eternal life is different, Jesus says. Everyone is the same in the eyes of God. No one belongs to anyone else. Because that's what the Sadducees were talking about. Who owned this woman? No one belongs to anyone else. Every person is like an angel, and all of them are children of God. God is not God of the dead, Jesus says, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. The lessons this week seem to carry on the theme of All Saints, which we have been living with for a couple of weeks now. We began our celebration of the Feast of All Saints with a wonderful, powerful service of lessons and music the last Sunday of October. And then, of course, last weekend with Father Chris Gray, our regular Saturday and Sunday services of the Feast of All Saints. And in the nave here, on the sides of the nave, we had banners with the names of all of those who had died from this parish and had their services in this parish in the past year. God is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. On the Feast of All Saints, we remembered that there is a great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us on our Christian journey. We remembered that those who have gone before us are living in eternal life, in union with God. They are the company of heaven, as it says in our Eucharistic prayer, who praise God continually with the angels and the archangels, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory." But eternal life is not just something that happens or that we enter when we die. As Bishop Beckwith points out in his fine stewardship essay in your bulletin, eternal life, resurrection life, is here, now. And we can choose to live in ways that, with God's help, shape our souls for heaven. And these things that we can do now also, with God's help, make God's kingdom more and more a reality on this earth. We can strive to live a balanced life of prayer, service, study, and worship. We can challenge ourselves to a spiritual practice of giving that is a witness to God's generosity to us and a thanksgiving for all the many blessings that we all have from God. Have you ever tried to write down all the blessings in your life? Several years ago, I started my sabbatical with a week retreat with the Society of St. John the Evangelist, a monastic order, Episcopal monastic order in Massachusetts. And as part of my retreat and as the beginning of my sabbatical, I met with one of the brothers for spiritual direction. And his suggestion to me was only one thing, that I spend some time writing down and giving thanks to God for all the things that I was thankful for in all areas of my life. The parish where I was the rector at the time, my family and friends, and my wider community. I remember that there was a robin's nest right outside the window. It was in June. And during that week, when I was in prayer, I watched the robins, the chicks, they had hatched, and I watched them fly away. And during the time that they were getting ready to fly, I wrote and I prayed. And it took a long time and many pages for me to put all that thanksgiving into words. We have a blessing tree at St. Catherine's. You can see it right through the glass at the back of the nave, in back of the font and the Paschal candle. And some of you have already written some blessings and put them up on a leaf on the tree. I invite you to spend some time reading those blessings that are written on the leaves. And if you have not already done so, add a leaf and some blessings of your own. Now, of course, we don't have nearly enough leaves or space to contain the blessings that God has given even just one of us in this parish. But we can begin there, and we can continue recording them for ourselves. And then we can consider prayerfully how we will flourish in faith by giving generously of our time and our resources to God's work in the world. Last weekend, we traveled to Atlanta for my mother-in-law's funeral. And my father-in-law is 91 and is struggling with some memory loss. But every time we sat around the table together to eat, he said the blessing prayer, as he has done year after year in the 22 years that I have known him, and for all the years before, I'm sure. But recently he added something to his standard blessing prayer. The beginning of it was the same. Bless this food to our use and us to your service. Make us mindful, Lord, of the needs of others. But then, having just lost his wife and companion of 63 years, he prayed, "Thank you, Lord, for all your many, 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 many blessings.